book of Daniel. I don't know how long we'll stay in Daniel here, but it seems like every week on Wednesday I get in the book of Daniel. In chapter number three, it's good to see everyone that's here. I do appreciate your presence. Always good to have folk to preach to. Amen. Isn't it, Brother Brady? Amen. That helps. That helps. Daniel chapter number three. Won't you stand, please, while I read the Word of God. You know, in chapter two, that king had his dream, and Daniel interpreted it and told him what his dream was, then interpreted it. And then the last verse of chapter 2, you'll find that Daniel requested the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the fires of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now look in chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Look in verse number 6. And whoso falleth not down in worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Verse number 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the fires of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these three men before the king. And then he began to ask them if it was true and so forth. And then told them if the music come again, if they'd fall down. Look in verse 15. But if you be ready, that what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the image which I have made well. He's saying it's well if you fall down and worship. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? That's another message right there. And I have a message I preach on that. And who is that God? I'm glad that God is the creator, sustainer. One takes care of it all. That's another message. But anyway, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for the privilege we've had tonight to fellowship together, sing the songs of Zion, enjoy the singing, and then, Father, the time of prayer and sharing our hearts with you. And thank you, Lord, we have the privilege to pray. And then, Lord, we thank you for the privilege to come to the house of God. And tonight we can meet like this and pray and study the Word of God. I pray you'd help us preach tonight. We need that divine touch, and I pray the Holy Spirit would direct us, help us to think, help us to say what we need to say. And I pray the power of God be upon it and use it to help our folk. And then those that may be here unsaved, I pray you'd speak in a special way and draw to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I've titled the message, Victory in the Midst of Trouble. Victory in the Midst of Trouble. Now, I know I'm not going to get all that preached tonight, but I do want to at least get an introduction in the first point of it tonight and pray that God will help us as we study this together. And as we look at this, I don't want us to miss the prophetic part. It's definitely a practical application of this and something that we needed to help us in the midst of trouble. But the prophetic part of this, as you see these three Hebrew children picturing Israel, I thought about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this pictures them and the trials they go through. Go back to, really to understand Babylon, you have to go back to Genesis 10, 11, and Nimrod, who started Babel. And they tried to have one world politically, one world language, and one world religion. And we're headed straight to that again today. But I'm glad I'm getting out before it all gets here. Amen. Rapture, it will take place. And we will go home before that all comes to pass. We may see a prelude to it, and we may see some of it begin shaping up and even coming together to some degree. I cannot tell you exactly when the rapture is coming, except to tell you it's soon. That's all I know to tell you, it's soon. And any time, any moment, in fact, it may happen, and Jesus may come. What a blessed thought that is. But that... I won't get into all that what's happening today, but as you think about the history and the prophetic part of this of Israel, Israel has been tried to be, the Hebrew people have tried to be destroyed down through the years. Pharaoh, you remember, tried to drown all the male babies in the river. He intended to do that. That's why Moses put in the ark and put in the out there, and God took care of him and then led the children of Israel out. But he tried to drown them. Babylon, they tried to burn them. And then try to put them in the lion's den, try to get rid of them, and tried every way they could. And Haman, he tried to get rid of them. Remember Haman in the book of Esther? And he wanted to destroy all the Jews out of the province, and he tried. And he wound up getting hung on his own gallows. And so Hitler tried, and they tried to annihilate the Jew, to completely do away with the Jewish people. But let me say hallelujah. They are still a nation on the face of God's earth. And the Hebrew people are still God's chosen people. And they need to get saved just like you and I need to get saved. But God has protected them and watched over them and cared for them. And here as these three face that fiery furnace, it pictures Israel and God's protection for them. And that he will protect them. They have been through the fire. They've got fire yet to go through. But they're going to come out. There'll still be a people. They've been no nation on the face of God's earth that's ever been persecuted like the Jews have. And still identify as a people. They've been other peoples that have been persecuted and scattered and absorbed by other civilizations and other peoples that are no more. You cannot find them no more. But not the Hebrews, not the Jews. Not Israel, she still is. I say amen. Turn with me in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Book of Revelation, chapter number 13. Just want to show this to you. And this, of course, during the tribulation period, and we shall be gone. Revelation 13, verse 14. That and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now here along the same line of what we're talking about back in book of Daniel, except this image can speak and miracle is done. Now that may be by deception. That may be however, all what is going on today, in many ways I guess that could be done, but I'm just telling you, it's going people being deceived and people to worship that image. And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in the right hand or in the foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that have understanding count the number of the beast. For as the number of a man, the number is 666. Now, I can't tell you who the Antichrist is, but many people made stabs at it, and they've tried to say who it is by taking the number 666. I just know that's going to be the number. I know they're going to be buying and selling without that number or the name of the beast and what have you, the Antichrist, and that day. And they'll seal their doom when they take that. You say, well, people won't do that. Surely they'll have no more than that. They didn't know more than that back in the book of Daniel, except for a very few of them. That was three Hebrew children that was gathered together at that time. And they worship the image, and there'll be people in that day who worship the image, and there'll be people that day take the mark. When you can't buy nor sell without taking the mark, there'll be people to do it. And people here tonight that's not saved, you say, well, preacher, I never would do that. You don't know what you'd do. When Jesus takes the church out and the Holy Ghost escorts her out, you don't know what may happen and what you may do in that time. So I just thought that tied in good with what I'm trying to say here in the introduction. Back in chapter 1 of Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, not chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 3. And talked about this image that he set up, 70. And that's 20, that's 60, and the breadth's 6 cubits. And so it's got the sixes in it. Six is man's number. Six is always one number short of seven. Seven's a number of perfection, completion. And man always comes up short. He never reaches that place of seven. And himself, he cannot be. It's only in Christ Jesus that we're perfected in him. Outside of him, we're not. Man, in his efforts, always comes up short. And you can see that in the world today. All the efforts man had, they're coming up short. They don't have the answer. God does. And they don't have that. So that number six is prevalent. Now, let me say this also tonight, that you and I are taught by Scripture to pray for our leaders of our country. We're obligated by Scripture to be obedient to the laws of our land as long as those laws do not contradict or go against the worship of God in this book. Amen. Now, any time that laws of man goes against the word of God, you are to obey God. And that's what these three Hebrew children were doing. Now, the law of the land was, the king said you had to bow, you have to worship, you have to do that. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. I remember back in the book of Acts chapter 5, I believe about verse 29, those disciples, when they were beaten and striped and they went away, and they said, they was warned not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, and they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I say amen to that. We ought to obey God rather than men. And so we know that to be so. And then we know also that people that are saved, that we're going to have problems someday. We'll have fiery trials. Let me, in 2 Timothy, in chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But look with me, please, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now look in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, chapter 4 and verse number 12. Chapter 4 and verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now today we're finding Christian people being talked about, ridiculed, put down, and all of that, but you rejoice in it. Thank God, I'm glad to be an old-time Christian. I'm glad to identify with old-time way. I'm glad to identify with the King James Bible. I'm glad to identify with the church that believes in preaching the Word of God, singing songs of Zion, and praising God and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Amen. I praise God for that. I don't take that for granted. I thank God for that and rejoice in it. And he said, when you're laughed at and mocked at, you go somewhere and they don't think so much of you. And Brother Bray, you may get up to sing and they may not think much of your singing about Jesus, because they may not believe that. But rejoice and be exceedingly glad over it. And you may witness somebody somewhere along the way, and they may not, hey, at work, wherever you are, school, whatever, they may make fun of you. They may say you're old-fashioned, you're out of step, you're not up to date, you're missing it somehow. And you just rejoice in the fact that you're being reproached for the namesake of Christ. That's what he's saying. It's going to be fiery trial. And I think today in America, as we are in the day that we're in, that you and I are going to face more in days to come than we have any for near it in the past face for standing true to the word of God and what's going to really happen. And verse number 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And I say, amen, hallelujah. Glorify God. If you get persecuted for his sake, glorify God in it. But then in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, talked about we have fiery trials, temptations, and try our faith. And so we realize the fact that this life and this crowd that tells you that you get saved, everything's going to be fine. You're never going to be sick. You're always going to be well. You're always going to have plenty of money. And you're going to drive fine cars and build big houses. They're lying to you. That's not what the Word of God says. The Bible does not say, he does say I'll supply all you need. But it does not say that he'll give you all these things and that you're going to have all this. That's not what God said. In fact, is God's people has to go through trials. And he allows them to come so they can build character in us and that he might help us to be strong in faith and our faith may grow. And we need that stirring in our hearts to help us along the way. Let me give you three things quickly. Here I'm going to give you the first point of the message, three things in it. As you said, that is a message. It probably is, but let me give it to you tonight. And that is the confidence that they had before this trial that they were going into. They were headed into it and they knew it. But the confidence that they had before they saw the furnace, before they ever got told they was going in it, they had confidence. And then when they're told, they still had the confidence. After they were told, they still had the confidence. In fact, is when they come out, they still had the confidence. I say praise God in the Lamb prayer. I'm glad for confidence in the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. They had that in their God, and they believed that and trusted God for it. And I say hallelujah and praise God. Now, as they faced this, and my memory serves me right, that an image is about 90 feet tall and 9 feet or so wide, and undoubtedly and out there in a flat land, it stood out, and they looked made of gold, and it was something, I guess, to really look at and see. And got attention, but it was there. Then verse number 3, if you'll notice in Scripture says, I'm back in chapter 3 now, Daniel, verse number 3. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, and the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together in the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now, if you'll notice in that verse, it talks about sheriffs, counselors, and all the leaders and everybody. Everybody's a who's is there. I mean, all the important people are there. Now, where's Daniel? I'm not sure. Back in the last verse of chapter 2, said he sat in the gate of the king's house. I know that he's promoted above even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It may have been that he didn't even go out there, and he didn't go that way. We later find in chapter 6 something else about Daniel, but here's those three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're facing this. And they're gathered because they're leaders of the provinces. And they were put out there. And they were invited to come. And they went on the king's command. But when they got there and found out what it was, a dedication of this image, and that they were going to have to worship, or they were going to be required to worship it. They didn't have to. They didn't. They're going to be required to worship it. Verse number 4 of chapter 3. Then an herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nation, and language, that time you hear, and then it talks about all the music, that you hear that, fall down and worship. Notice, and whosoever, verse 6, whosoever falls not down and worship, the same hour shall be cast in the midst of burning fiery furnace. So they already knew that. They had already heard that proclamation. They'd already heard the herald declare, sound the trumpet, and declare, now when you hear the music, fall down and worship this image. Nebuchadnezzar the king has given the command. Anybody that does not do it is going to be cast in the fiery furnace. And so the command is there, and they know it, and they're facing that, and they come to it. And I want you to show you this. They're challenged by what they face. They see all this. They're challenged by it. You say, well, I'd have done the same thing. I tell you right now, if there's only three of you and that crowd that was there, and that king said, you're going to a burning fiery furnace. And it wasn't a plaything. It was a real burning fiery furnace. And they said, we're going to throw you in there. I guarantee you there'd be some folks have some second thoughts about it. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute, but let me say right now, the compromise they refused. And I talked about men that wouldn't compromise already in this book, but I want to mention this again. They would not compromise. Verse number 13. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury. Now remember, back in chapter 2, he'd had his dream. Daniel interpreted it and told him what it was interpreted. He promoted Daniel, promoted and talked about how good Daniel's God was, and promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He'd done all that, but it didn't take him long to forget about that. Isn't it odd how quick we forget about God? How quick things move away from God. And tragedy happens, we think about God, but soon gone. But we need to think about God and give him our thought, our worship, our very being that we are, that we might worship him in spirit and truth. And so here they are. And they've been challenged by what they've seen, they've heard, and now they're this confidence they have is going to be tried to see if they're compromised or not. And would you do it? Would you stand like that? Would I do it? And I would pray to God that I would, but I'd have to have the help of God. I'd tell you that. And you would too if you ever got in that situation. It may not be a fiery furnace that we're facing, a literal fiery furnace. It may not be a king proclaiming an image. It may be we're put on a spot somewhere else. And our witness may be tried. And where we stand for God and where we are, it may be around you. And you young people may be in a congregation somewhere, or people, some young folk, and everybody saying, if you don't do this, you're not with the hip crowd or whatever. And you're not up to par and all that. But you remember this. It takes a man or woman to live for God. Any coward can drift with the crowd and go downstream. It don't take anybody to go with the crowd. Anybody can do that. It's that one to stand up, speak up, and say, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm going to live for God. I believe the Bible. And that's wrong. This is wrong. I stand here. Here's where I stand. And so they're going to stand. Hey, others did this. Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew the consequences of that. He had an opportunity to probably be Pharaoh. But he left all of that. And Joseph had opportunity to really get out there and see him, but he fled that and left his coat and run and fled that. Stephen stood for God, preached like he preached, and they stoned him to death. Hey, amen. Others tried and had to pay the price. Jesus Christ himself prayed and said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If anybody ever faced a fiery furnace, he did. Because he faced not only a fiery furnace, but the burning of hell itself, as it were, and taking my sin and your sin. And on the cross of Calvary for 3 hours, God shut the lights out and poured out upon him his wrath and suffered my hell, my price, and paid for my sin debt. I say hallelujah. You can't get better than that, amen. And he prayed and said, God, be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. He stood. I'm glad he stood. I'm glad he went to Calvary. I'm glad he stood for me. Wouldn't it be a shame for me to deny him? Wouldn't it be a shame for me to compromise on him now? Wouldn't it be a shame for you to compromise on him now? Wouldn't it be a shame if you'd sell him out now after what he paid for you and did for you? Now, I want you to notice his confidence now as they possessed, as they look in verse number 17. Well, let's back up here. I'm about to get ahead of myself. I don't want to get that yet. I want to show you something. Back in verse number 14, when Nebuchadnezzar asked him and said, is it true? And they didn't. They just let him talk. And then he told him what to do. Middle of verse 15, back a little past the middle of it. When he said, if you'll fall down with the music, well. He's saying, you'd be well with you if you just fall down when the music comes and worship this image. But if you worship not, you shall be cast in same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Now, before I say something about their coming, let me say this. Here he made it very plain. The king himself that has all the authority of that land that day, as far as humanly speaking, had said, you fall down, you worship. When that music comes, and it'll be well with you. That's all you got to do. And if you don't do that, then you're going to go to that burning fiery furnace. Now, let me say this to you. At that time, in that moment, it would have been easy for them to whisper to each other and said, well, now, listen, we're on a spot here. Best thing we can do is fall down and pray to God and just pay no attention to that image, and they won't know the difference. I guarantee you that those thoughts, the devil passed them through their minds. I guarantee you that at times you're in situations where you think, well, I just be quiet and it won't cause any trouble. And I won't cause any stir about this thing, about right and wrong. Amen. Oh, me, whatever the situation may call for. And we get put on, and there they were. And they could easily have done that and got up and said, well, we didn't worship that image. We prayed to God. But they didn't want anybody to think that they'd sold out their God. They didn't want anybody to even have an idea that they may have worshiped that image. Amen. Shun the appearance of evil. That's good. Amen. Even when I'm preaching. That's good. That's good stuff. Hey, they wanted to stand for God and stand true to God. I say hallelujah. I'd like to stand the same way. Now notice their confidence. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, what they're saying is, we're not going to even hesitate. We don't even have to think about it. We're not even going to give it a second thought how we're going to answer you about this. You have done told us what you're going to do. You said what's going to happen. Well, they're saying here, let me tell you that we're not even going to think about it. We're going to tell you where we stand. And this is exactly what they did. I say it took a lot of grace of God, took a whole lot of God in them, took a whole lot of faith in them to believe God, to stand there like that. Well, it's easy for me to stand up here and preach about it. It's easy if you read your Bible and say, boy, that's good. That's how we ought to do it. That's easy for us to do it now. But if you'd been there in that day, in their place, it wouldn't have been so easy. But they had God on them. They knew where they stood. They knew what they had to do. It was not a question how they would answer. And they said, we're not even going to think about that. We're not going to be careful about how we're going to deliver our answer to you. And verse 17, if, notice that little word if it be so, our God whom we serve. Now I want to point that out to you. They didn't say that the God that Daniel served. And they didn't say the God of the Israelites. They didn't say the God. They said the God we serve. It wasn't just some God they'd heard about, some God they knew something about. They said a God we serve. That makes a whole lot of difference how you stand. If you've got a God you don't serve, you probably won't stand for him either. If you won't serve him, you won't suffer for him. You'll never be persecuted for him because you won't even serve him. Amen. And same way with me or anybody else. Whom we serve, made it known without a question. It's whom we serve. That God, he said, who is that God? And they said, that God whom we serve. That's who that God is. And he'd heard about that God before. He heard it back in chapter 1. I don't know, one taking care of him, feeding him, heard about it. We were not going to drink a king's drink and eat his meat. And then in chapter 2, they heard about him. God of Daniel, they heard about him. He'd heard about him. Here in chapter 3, he said, now who is that God? And they said, that God whom we serve. That's who that God is. And we serve him. And said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. I'm glad he's able to save. Hebrews 7:25, now to him that is able to save to the uttermost. And I say hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 1:12, and said, I'm not ashamed, talks about it now, able to keep us. Amen. I'm glad he's able to keep us. I'm glad for that. Praise God. Hey, he's able to supply all of our need. Philippians 4:19, but my God supply all your need according to his riches and glory. He is able, and here he said he's able to deliver us. I believe that. And I don't believe we've ever taken any temptation that God did not make a way of escape to help you. He said, God's faithful who will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I say hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God makes it possible for us to be living for him? He said, now God's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will. Now notice that. He said, now our God's able. It may be. We know that God is able to do it. And here said, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now, you think about that. Now, that king is mad as he can be already because he wouldn't bow. Already upset at him because they're answering him like they are. And then they said, but he will deliver us out of your hand. And they didn't know whether they're going to burn up down there or not, but that king wasn't going to hurt them. It was going to be God Almighty. They just meet God if they left out in the fiery furnace for. So they just took their stand and said, king, they trying to let him know that he wasn't God. They trying to let him know that he wasn't the supreme one. He wasn't sovereign. God's the only one that was. The God whom he said, who is he? They said, the one we serve, one you've heard about. That God, that's who he is. And he's able. And notice verse number 18. But, I love that too. Amen. But, if not, they said, he's able to deliver us. And he will deliver us out of your hand. But, if not. I love it. Hallelujah. Whoo. I think I had me a spell right there. Glory to God. I'm glad, praise God, it's real. And here they're saying, they're looking at it and they're looking around and saying, well, it may be the burning fiery furnace for us, but here we are. But King, we want you to know, we're not going to bow to your image. We're not going to bow. We're not going to do that. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods. They didn't even talk about just that image. They're talking about all his gods. Any gods you got. So we're not going to serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said, we're just not going to bow. We're not going to do it. We're not going to worship. If we go to the fiery furnace, we'll go, and we'll get to that at a later time. But if God will permit us to do so, but right now, I just want you to see this. Why they had the confidence before the burning fiery furnace. They had their minds already made up. They knew where they stood. They had their heart settled. The psalmist David said, my heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. I'm glad, praise God, my heart's fixed. Amen. Got fixed up one day at Calvary. I'm glad one day, praise God, got saved. And the kids sing that song, God ain't never done me nothing but good. Amen. That's absolutely right. God ain't never done me nothing but good. God never has hurt me. God never had done anything but help me. Why should I give up on him now? Why should I compromise now? Why should I sell him out now? Why should I not stand now? Why should you not stand now? Why should we not take our place? For God, in a world that is godless and darkness of sin and heathenism, why should we not stand for God and live for God? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege. Open the Word of God. And God, see the prophetic part of this, but also, Lord, the very practical. Help us, Lord, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, help us have our minds made up and our hearts settled where we stand. And that we're going to stand there by the grace of God. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that no matter what the situation is or where it is or what we face, I pray, God, give us that boldness, that grace of God to answer in the right way. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Say, God, help me stand like I ought to stand. Help me take my place like I ought to take it. And you come. God speak to your heart. God deal with your life. God's helping.